many of us, at one point in our lives or another, have had to pay a bill late, bounced a check, or lost sleep worrying about making ends meet. And that stress is compounded when we're surrounded by messages that we should be saving for retirement, that our kids' college fund should be started when they're born, if not before, and that saving for long-term goals is the responsible way to manage money.
A new book looks in detail at how America's working families are getting by. And a lot of the research flies in the face of what conventional wisdom says about earning, spending, and saving.
Jonathan Mordick is an economist at New York University. He writes about the financial lives of low-income families and how they connect to poverty and inequality. He's also the executive director of the Financial Access Initiative at NYU. His most recent book, written with Rachel Schneider, is The Financial Diaries: How American Families Cope in a World of Uncertainty. Jonathan, welcome to Central Time.
Hi.
Hi, thanks for joining us. Let's lay out the framework of your research. Whose experiences were you looking at?
We aim to look at a broad cross-section from America, trying to understand what's going on with kind of typical families. So the key to what we did was to step away from the reams of official government statistics we have, which give a big snapshot of how we're doing in America. And we aimed instead to get to know a smaller group of families who did something pretty incredible, which was to let Rachel and me and our research team get to know everything about what the families were doing over an entire year. And so we tracked everyone's income, spending, saving, borrowing, things they shared with neighbors, everything they did over a full year. Getting to know families in different parts of the U.S., not the poorest, not the richest, but kind of the broad middle of the economy today.
And if I remember correctly, Jonathan, that one of the qualifications for being part of this study was that at least one person in the family had to be working.
Everybody had at least one working member, exactly. So we were looking for families who are trying to move ahead. Like so many families today, most of them have jobs of some kind, and we wanted to know what those jobs look like and why families are having a hard time, achieving that American dream and achieving those savings and getting out of debt. And the only way we could figure out to really understand it was to spend a lot of time with the families and track their finances really closely and come up with a new story.
And how many people did you end up following during the course of that year?
We tracked 235 families, which was an awful lot given how intense this was. It's a very small number relative to, the population of America or the kind of data sets that I as an economist usually use. But the data was very intense. I mean, we collected tens of thousands of data points for each household, really every transaction the families were making. And we were really trying to find typical experiences. So we did include lots of different kinds of people from different communities, black families, white, ethnic communities of various sorts, single people, large families, small families, really across the board, trying to look at different kinds of experiences and find some common threads.
I think many of us assume that people who are struggling financially are having a hard time because they just don't make enough money or aren't good at managing the money they earn. But what you and your team of researchers found is really much more nuanced than that. Can you tell us kind of what those themes were?
Yeah, it is more nuanced. But part of the backdrop is that wages have not been rising, right? And I'm sure a lot of listeners understand that and see that in their community. So part of it is that wages haven't been rising, but there's another issue, which is instability, that a lot of jobs today are not stable, not consistent. There's a national survey, this isn't our data, but a national survey asked Americans whether they have consistent and predictable income and expenses throughout the year, and only about half said they did. So you've got a big chunk of America that's feeling vulnerable to ups and downs and having a hard time planning and budgeting and doing all the basic things, that we assume are building blocks of a good financial life.
And so, is that a change from past generations or past decades, maybe?
I think we've always had some instability. I think the difference now is that the amount of slack that households have to buffer themselves has gone down. And you combine that lack of slack with the instability, and it's a recipe for stress, anxiety, and really difficulty investing in the future. So just to give you a sense of how much instability we saw in our data, it was really surprising. You know, we were tracking the families month by month, and we counted months in which their incomes were either 25% above average or 25% below average. So we called these spikes and dips, these big differences from their averages. And we found on average that households had 5 months out of the year in which their income was either spiking or dipping. So that means, you know, almost half the year, they were at a level that was, you know, not consistent at all. I mean, these were big deviations. Mm-hmm. And that was really the building block of what we were seeing.
We're talking with Jonathan Morduk right now. He's an economist at New York University, and we're discussing his new book, which is titled The Financial Diaries, How American Families Cope in a World of Uncertainty. And Jonathan, one of the great things about your book is that you have so many stories that really illustrate these points. Can you tell us about one of the people that you followed where these spikes and dips were something that they were dealing with on a very constant basis?
So one of the families we got to know lives in Ohio, and they it's a couple. They have four children. Becky and Jeremy is what we call them. We change names to preserve confidentiality. But Becky and Jeremy are living at a decent wage, you know, for their family in Ohio. They're certainly above the poverty line. And yet what we found was that Jeremy, who's a truck mechanic, he fixes those big rigs that, you know, deliver all the goods and products that we depend on. Jeremy fixes those trucks, and it turns out that Jeremy's income is high in the winter and the summer because that's when weather is terrible, either way too hot or way too cold, and the trucks are suffering. And Jeremy works on commission, and so his biggest paychecks are in those seasons. Spring and fall comes, they're really, you know, the paychecks really shrink. And so Jeremy represents something we saw again and again and again, which is families that have steady jobs but not steady incomes. So just, you know, listening to the previous segment in Secretary Perdue's in Wisconsin this week, today, and talking about creating jobs. But what we saw was that lots of families have jobs. Most people have jobs. Unemployment rate is actually pretty low right now. It's about 4.3% nationally. People have jobs for the most part, but those jobs are much lower quality in terms of predictability and stability than they used to be.
And what I found really interesting was kind of an aha moment for me reading the book was that you point out that if you look at, for instance, that family's income over the course of a year, and you look at their spending over the course of the year, you think, well, why are they having a hard time? That, you know, they should be making it, but it's that cash flow, when the cash is there and when the cash is not, versus those regular expenses that have to be paid.
Yeah, exactly. So Becky and Jeremy, they've got to pay for their, you know, their utility bills, their house bill, their car bills every month, whether or not, you know, their income is high or low. And that's really the challenge of so many families. We've got income going up and down, expenses going up and down, and trying to piece it together so that the equation works is really, really hard. So there was a national survey that asked whether the respondents could come up with $400 in a hurry, if there's some emergency, say your car breaks down. And the latest survey showed that only about 44% of respondents said they could come up with $400 without having to borrow it or sell something. That's part of this equation that makes it really hard when your income's going up and down and your expenses are volatile also.
We're talking with Jonathan Morduch right now. He's an economist at New York University, and we're discussing his most recent book, The Financial Diaries, How American Families Cope in a World of Uncertainty.
And we hope you'll join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a hard time making ends meet? Is it just because of how much you make, or does your income vary? Does it fluctuate from paycheck to paycheck, or maybe season to season? Are you able to save for short-term goals, but maybe not those a little farther out? And what techniques do you use to get by? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We're continuing our conversation now with Jonathan Morduch about how working families manage their money when income goes up and down from month to month. He's the co-author of a new book called The Financial Diaries, How American Families Cope in a World of Uncertainty.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Do you know exactly how much you'll make on every paycheck, or does it vary week to week or month to month? How do you manage to pay your bills on time if your income isn't consistent? Or have you gotten behind because of the timing of your spending and earning? And what about saving? If you're able to put money away, is it for short-term or long-term needs? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. And Jonathan, I really found your book fascinating because it gives us so much insight into the challenges working families in America are facing. And one of the things that really struck me was how creative people are in trying to make ends meet. Can you give us an example or two of those really interesting workarounds or work-throughs?
One woman I really got to know well is named Janice, and she is a car dealer in Mississippi. She works at a casino. And if you're a casino worker, it turns out that you do well when in the middle of the summer when lots of folks are at the casino, but come winter and the fall, fewer people come. So Janice works really hard to save up during the summer, and then she can have money in the winter. So Janice does some interesting things. She needs some discipline to save that money, and she opened a savings account about an hour south in a credit union. And the credit union had really lousy hours, and she said, hey, that works for me. And she went one step further. She cut up the ATM cards that the credit union gave her. And that made it so that she knew she'd have to drive an hour south to get money from her savings account when she needed it. And that gave her both the structure of locking up the money in an inconvenient place, but also, you know, the flexibility for the times when she'd say she really, really needed the money. So when those really, really need moments came, she would get in the car and she would drive down there. So the banks, it turned out, in her hometown were just too flexible and too convenient, and she had to find something that was just the right level of not convenient.
Let's take a call now. Julie in Fond du Lac is up first. Hi, Julie.
Hello. Hi, this is Julie.
Yeah.
I think that's quite an interesting topic because I feel like our family is different than the other families around us. My husband's a commercial fisherman in Alaska during the summer and a taxidermist, self-employed in the winter. So he can't get insurance because the fishing is so dangerous. So I have to cover my family for insurance. And what he makes in the summer, we have to spread through the whole year because then we have to pay taxes in the end. Self-employment tax and taxes on all of his money. So it's really hard to, we've never come up with a good system besides not spending. So it's.
Do you find yourself getting behind on bills, Julie?
No, but no, we're able to keep up with bills. We keep up, but we don't spend anything. We're basically ahead.
Mm-hmm.
But it's tough. We don't know what's going to happen in the spring. The day-to-day things are fine, but, you know, in a few months, you know, we don't know what taxes we're going to pay until it comes tax time.
Mm-hmm. Thanks so much for that call, Julie and Jonathan. Does that echo some of the things that you heard from the people that you were working with?
Yeah, in lots of ways. I mean, what Julie describes is an example of a family that has, you know, a decent annual income, But it's not about the annual income. The concerns are, you know, when the money's coming and when the expenses are coming. And that just changes the story once you see that that timing really matters. And it's all about having the right money at the right time, even if you've got enough money over the year in total.
And Jonathan, I remember from your book that one of the people that you worked with couldn't figure out why she was getting behind because, again, looking at the I make X amount of money in a month and my expenses are Y, why am I not being able to cover it? And she realized it was when those bills were hitting. So she actually went to some of the companies and said, hey, you know, can I move my car payment from the 5th to the 20th and spread it out a little differently? And that really worked for her.
Yeah, she was really proactive. She was really a very thoughtful young woman. And you can do that some of the time. That was really a nice step. She managed to talk to her the credit card companies. You know, the situation that Julie's in, you can't get the you know, the U.S. government to rearrange tax time to something more convenient for you. They charge you taxes whenever they want to. Mm-hmm. So it's a struggle for lots of families.
Julie, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Let's go next to Maurice in Madison. Hi, Maurice.
Hello. I was wondering if your guest favors anything beyond joining a credit union far away, such as the guaranteed annual income that was favored by conservative economist Milton Friedman.
Thanks for that call. And Jonathan, would you like to respond?
Yeah, I think there are lots of different things. So what Janice did with that credit union was just something that she figured out as a workaround. And other folks do other things to try to save money, you know, for the short term and smooth things out. It would be great to see, you know, other steps that are more structural and more fundamental. Guaranteed basic income that Milton Friedman and lots of people are very interested in these days. Certainly could do the same thing. It guarantees steadiness and stability and could really simplify people's lives. I'm not betting on that being implemented anytime soon, but I do think there are some steps that the government could take, you know, sooner rather than later. You know, for example, there's been proposed legislation to guarantee workers that in terms of their hourly schedules, so these would be hourly workers, that they have enough lead time so they can predict their hours in a given month and then can, you know, can count on that. So there are some attempts to try to smooth things out through legislation, and certainly collective action of various kinds also, you know, can help give workers a little bit more bargaining power so that they can, you know, negotiate not just for higher wages, but also more stable wages.
Thanks for that call, Maurice. And Jonathan, I was also really interested in what you found out about efforts to save money. We hear so much about how we need to save for longer-term goals like retirement, and we also get chided as a nation for not saving enough. But you learned that people that you were working with in this study were saving, but in a very different way than is kind of the conventional wisdom. How are these people that were living with financial uncertainty using saving?
Yeah, it's interesting. We often think of saving as only long-term saving. So like you're saying, those retirement accounts or the college 529s or, you know, other investments that are going to help you down the road. What we saw is households saving and filling up their savings accounts, but doing it for short-term needs because the ups and downs require that 6 months from now, a year from now, you're going to need some extra money. So it's totally prudent, it's totally smart, but that money doesn't end up accumulating for the long term. We asked people how long the money in their savings accounts is going to last. About two-thirds said within a year. So we often come to exactly the wrong conclusion when we say people haven't saved for the long term, so they must be, you know, living, overspending, and just subject to temptation and unable to discipline themselves. We found the opposite. We found people working really hard to save, having an incredible amount of discipline, but saving for the short term, not for the long term. So it's a very different story and a very different sort of policy frame to start thinking about how to help people also save for those long-term important goals.
And you also said, Jonathan, that they were saving for those shorter, medium-term goals, depleting their savings, and then turning around and immediately starting saving for the next thing.
Yeah, it's a really active and difficult way of saving. That's what one has to do when your income's going up and down. And we don't, banks haven't designed products and government hasn't designed policies in ways that really help households with that kind of active saving. We really need a new conversation around helping people save, you know, given the kinds of savings issues that they're really facing.
Let's take a really quick call from Lisa in Stevens Point. Hi, Lisa.
Hi. I was just saying, I work two jobs, but they're both minimum wage, and I'm not making ends meet, but I mean, I am, but I'm struggling.
And thanks for that call, Lisa. And one of the things that you talk about, Jonathan, is that, you know, people are working really hard. And even if they're kind of making ends meet, like Lisa said she is now, there's always that threat that something's going to spike and throw them way back.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, Lisa's a great example. Thanks for the call and the comment. A lot of people we saw are working more than one job, and partly because they need more income, partly they're trying to smooth out some of the ups and downs in, you know, their first job, so they take a second job to provide a little bit more stability. So Americans that we got to know are working really hard. They're focused on the future. They're trying to do better. But the short term is often undermining the long term.
And we'll leave it there. Jonathan, thank you so much for joining us today. Jonathan Morduck is an economist at New York University. He's the co-author of a new book titled The Financial Diaries, How American Families Cope in a World of Uncertainty.